All right, we are joined now by a man I'm proud to call a friend, a man who has done such amazing things with his life in an effort to make sure that his father's life is honored in a proper way, and that is has been by talking about it, talking about, unfortunately, his father's murder at the hands of the FALN terrorists when he, Joe Connor, was, I think, 8. We'll ask him right now, and he's got a brand new book about this, which is out in a couple of weeks. It's called Shattered Lives. Joe, welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Always great to talk to you, sir. Were you 8 when Franz's Tavern happened?
I had just turned 9 4 days before on January 20th, and we were going to be celebrating my 9th birthday that night and my brother's 11th birthday. He was born on January 13th. So that's the day that the FALN walked a bomb into Franz's Tavern, which was where George Washington bid farewell to his officers after the Revolutionary War, and were out to attack and murder what they called it, reactionary corporate executives. They were a Marxist group looking for to turn Puerto Rico into another Cuba. So that's the origin of it. My dad was innocent. He was 33 years old. He was having lunch with clients. And he was a New York kid and hardly a reactionary corporate executive. But this is what we were dealing with.
And it took a long time. I mean, justice was done eventually to an extent. We've lived through together, you and I, Joe, the pardoning of the FALN terrorists under Eric Holder, who I cringe and laugh at the same time when he says he might run for president now. When he worked in the Clinton Justice Department, people said don't do it. The FBI said don't do it. And career people said don't do it. But Eric Holder pushed it, and Bill Clinton signed off on it, and so many of these terrorists got let out. But let's talk about the one person in particular who refused at the time to denounce and renounce terror and elected to stay in prison, and he's a key figure in your life, unfortunately.
Yes, you're talking about Oscar Lopez. He was one of the leaders of the FALN. And, you know, the reason Shattered Lives was written was because of these terrorists and how our government used these terrorists for political reasons. When Hillary Clinton was running for senator from New York back in 1999, she had no connection to New York, and she convinced her husband to release these terrorists, claiming that they were nonviolent terrorists. They were all given clemency in 1999, and all but one of them accepted it, Oscar Lopez. He stayed in prison. Myself, my brother, a woman, Deanie Berger, and her current husband, and some victims who were at Francis, went to the prison and kept Oscar Lopez in jail at his 2011 parole hearing after he turned down clemency in 99. Well, in Obama's last days in office, he granted a second clemency to this terrorist, and he was given they attempted to give him an award, a Freedom Hero Award, which we talk about in the book. And thank God people in New York came to their senses and rejected that, and the sponsors all pulled out of the Puerto Rican Day Parade last year because of this incredible, disgraceful act by the by Melissa Mark Viverito, Luis Gutierrez, Mayor de Blasio, and the rest of these people who are honoring a terrorist who attacked our own city.
Joe, let me ask you. We're talking to Joe Connor, the author of Shattered Lives. We'll tell you how you could pre-order that and get that book in a minute. There are pictures that you sent me this past January 24th, the anniversary of the bombing. The New York Daily News published a photo montage.
Yes,
and you pointed out to me. To my eye, I see Oscar Lopez there at this in those pictures at the site of the bombing on the day of the bombing. And I mean, tell me about the pictures that you have come take possession
of. This book, I started this book the day before 9/11 on 9/10, believe it or not, 2001, and I could never get anything done with it until I met a guy named Jeff Ingber, who's awesome, and helped me put this book together and actually did most of the heavy lifting. Well, this book was about completed on January 24th of this year when the Daily News published a collage of pictures. Now, I've seen these pictures before of Francis Tavern. They were the outside of the building and some inside after the bombing. And something told me, just look a little closer, Joe, at these pictures. And I started looking at some of the peripheral figures in the background. And I came across one photo from the Daily News and another one from some FBI agent friends of mine, which shows a character who looks suspiciously, enormously, exactly like Oscar Lopez Rivera, the terrorist that they all claimed had nothing to do with Francis. So I pointed these pictures out. Jeff and I talked to the photographer who said, well, there was no perimeter set up. Anyone could have gotten in there. I sent them to the Joint Terrorism Task Force in New York, who've had them now for a month or more, and have said, well, they're not sure. Look, this is a political nightmare for people to admit that who is there. I can't give 100% proof, but Steve, you've seen the pictures. One of the pictures is in the book, and they're online on the Daily News, or they're on my website, wewinamerica.com. Lopez, I swear it's him. It's the right height. It's the right face. It's the right hair. But anyway,
it's the right mustache.
The right mustache. Everything. The right nose. Look, even if it's not him, and I believe it is, he was still a leader of a terrorist group, no different than Bin Laden was, who murdered my father, took responsibility for that murder, and never ever should have been released from prison. And never should have been made a hero by anybody. And you know, the Puerto Rican people are fantastic. They've reached out to me overwhelmingly in favor of the work that Jeff and I and other people have done. They don't support terrorists. They never did. Lopez never wanted freedom for Puerto Rico. He wanted to turn it into another Cuban Marxist state. The Puerto Rican people have spoken, and 97% last year looked for statehood rather than independence. So, I wanted to point out that the point is that our American people have been used by our government way too much for their political reasons. My father's life was used by the Clintons, by Eric Holder, and then more recently by Gutierrez, by Vivarito and the rest. And it's just not right, Steve. And you know me, man. I don't give up.
Giving up is not in your vernacular.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
By any stretch of the imagination.
And look, I hope that people will get a chance to look at the book. It is out in hard copy form. It's on Amazon, Shattered Lives. If you go on jeffingber.com or We Win America, which is my website, there's links to the Amazon. The e-book isn't out yet, but will be out shortly. But the hard copy's out, and it's cool. It's I hope people get something out of it.
I'm sure they will. Let me ask you, Joe.
Sure.
Talk about some of the other people that I know you write about in the book. I mean, obviously your dad was your life, and
right.
As I said, off the air, and I've said to you on the air a zillion times, your dad has to be so proud of you because you just made it your life's work at the same time raising your own family and making your own living and finding the time to be a champion for not only your dad but also other victims. Talk about what some other victims' families have gone through who were also, had their lives shattered, if you will, on that day.
Yeah, I mean, Dini Berger was pregnant 6 months when her husband, Alex, and a brilliant man whose family escaped the Holocaust, and he was having lunch with my dad that day when he was murdered. And she is just such an amazing woman and was with me and my brother at the prison when we kept Lopez in. An amazing person who's done amazing things in her life. My mother, is just, she's 80. She's tough. She's selling the book to everyone she can find and has suffered terribly, but you know, is she's there, and she's there for us. You know, my wife and we write about him, my stepfather, my brother. I mean, there's so many people. Bill Newhall, who was sitting next to my dad, and still shrapnel still comes out his legs after these bombings. Another man who can't be forgotten is Charles Steinberg, who was killed by a different FALN bomb at the building where I used to work, coincidentally. It was the Mobil Oil building back then, but more recently another building on 42nd Street in New York that I coincidentally worked in. You know, a young man who didn't deserve to die, and families who were shattered, but really they've overcome. And we've gotten to meet so many of the family members, but also the law enforcement people, the FBI agents who prosecuted, the prosecutors in Chicago and New York. They all did such great work, and they had it thrown away by our politicians, and it's disgraceful.
It is disgraceful. Joe, always great to talk to you. Good luck with the book, and I'm sure we'll speak again very soon, sir.
Yeah, one last thing. My Uncle Don, whose son Steve was murdered on 9/11, that was my dad's godson. We can't forget him. He went through it terribly, too. Anyway, Steve, thanks a million, and take care.